biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. Sitting with Pastor Rock, you know, it's hard to not see that the world is in turmoil in a lot of countries. And religion seems to be the cause or the thought of a lot of these bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into the church, and then we say in church that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. I think there is some distinction there that needs to be made. I would love your thoughts in dissecting this a little bit.
Sure. Well, again, context. We live in a world where religion in general is increasingly coming under fire. And the increasing embracing of secularism has led to religion coming under fire, not just the Christian religion, but other religions as well. So you commonly hear people making statements that religion is a blight upon humanity, that religion is the cause of wars, it's the cause of strife, it's the cause of division, it's a breeding ground for bigotry and hatred. And then they point to many of the conflicts in the world in which religion is a key player as proof of their contention. And their bottom line is essentially, we would be better off if humanity kick religion to the curb.
Right.
And just embrace the findings of science and embrace secularism. Now, obviously, Christians disagree with that.
Right.
But I have watched, based on our disagreement with the idea that religion is bad and secularism is a better way to go, I've watched well-intended Christians, as a way of defending their faith, start to say, but Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. So it's a well-intended attempt to say, in a world that sees religion as evil, well, but Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. It's an attempt to distance the Christian faith from something that the world increasingly is suspicious of and despises.
Right.
So I get why Christians are saying it. And like many errors, there's just enough truth in it to perpetuate it.
Right.
Because we do know that a relationship with Christ is at the core of Christianity. That without that core, there really is no Christianity.
Right.
Okay? So it has an element of truth in it, but I'm here to say it is a false statement, and we need to quit saying it.
We need to quit saying
that. We need to quit saying that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship.
So would we define religion as a set of beliefs by a certain group of people? How can we define religion
then? Well, and let me begin. I'm glad you asked that because I want to get to that. But let me begin by biblically defending my statement that we should quit saying that.
Okay.
That we should quit saying Christianity is not a religion. And the reason I believe we should quit saying it is, first of all, biblical. In James chapter 1, verse 27, God defines what he calls pure religion and undefiled. And in that statement, God was making it clear that there is impure religion, there is defiled religion, There's a lot of it out there.
Right.
But God was stating that there is a true, pure, and undefiled religion. Now, if God refers to faith in Him and His revelation in the Scriptures as religion, pure religion,
right,
undefiled religion, then we need to stop saying Christianity is not a religion, because when you say that, you're putting yourself in contradiction to Scripture. If God speaks of pure, undefiled religion, who are we to say Christianity is not religion?
It's a relationship, right.
See?
Right.
So, we need to quit negating what God affirms.
Right.
We need to quit saying Christianity isn't a religion when God speaks of pure, undefiled religion. And He's clearly talking about the application of the Christian faith. Okay? Now, the second reason I think we need to say it is the various definitions of religion.
Right.
Let me run through the various definitions of religion and comment upon each one of them. All right. First of all, the generic definition. A religion is a particular system of faith and worship. Isn't Christianity a particular system of faith and worship?
It is.
Absolutely it is.
Right.
It's not anything goes.
Right.
It's a particular system of faith and worship with boundaries where we say, this is truth, this is error, this is righteousness, this is sin, this is acceptable to God, this is not acceptable to God. That's a particular system of faith and worship. In Christianity, in the Scriptures, we say that faith needs to be in the one living God who revealed Himself in Christ and in the Scriptures. Well, that's a system of faith.
Right.
We speak of true worship and false worship. That's a system of worship. So a particular system of faith and worship, Christianity is both of those things. Another generic definition of religion is belief in and the worship of a god or gods. Well, we believe in and worship God, capital
right.
G. Religion is the belief in a particular cause of the universe. Christians believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that Christ holds all things together by the word of His power, and apart from Him, nothing that exists would exist. So Christianity believes in a very specific origin and cause of the universe. We don't believe in mindless evolution,
right,
that's governed by blind chance. Another definition of religion is a system of belief that involves devotion and ritual. Now, people immediately think ritual, that's empty practice, you know, devoid of relationship. Well, that's bad ritual.
Right.
But there's good ritual. When we observe communion, that's ritual.
Right.
When we baptize believers, that's ritual.
Right.
So Christianity involves devotion and ritual. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. The ritual of the Last Supper. Another definition, a system of belief that contains a moral code. Christianity contains a moral code.
Yes, sir.
Another is a body of people who adhere to a system of belief. Jesus said the church is His body. And when you adhere to Christ, you become a part of His body. You become a part of a body of people who adhere to a very specific, carefully, minutely defined system of faith and worship and devotion and ritual and moral code and understanding of the universe. And then the other generic definition is the practice of what one believes. Well, Scripture says we're not just to be hearers of the word, we're to be doers of it.
That's right.
And we're called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And we're called to practice what we believe. God condemned ancient Israel for believing something they didn't practice. And he said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me.
Right.
So by every definition of religion, Christianity is a religion.
Right.
We have a particular system of faith and worship. We believe in God. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Our system of belief involves devotion to God and ritual. It certainly encompasses a moral code. It's practiced by a body of people who believe that belief is not just to be intellectual, but it's to shape our living.
Right.
Christianity is a religion.
So why do you think then that some believers revert the relationship?
It's a misguided attempt to defend Christianity in a world that has taken the term religion and defined it as something inherently evil, bigoted, and divisive.
Right.
And because we don't want people to look at Christianity as something inherently evil and bigoted and divisive and the cause of war, we try to set ourselves apart by saying, oh, it isn't a religion, it's a relationship. Now, I know the genesis of that statement. It comes from the fact that, unlike other religions, at the core of Christianity, at the core of this belief system, at the core of this moral code, at the core of devotion and ritual, at the core of this body of people, there is an indispensable relationship. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Right.
So a relationship with God through Christ is indispensable to the Christian religion. Okay?
Right.
So it's not an either or, it's a both and. Christianity is a religion, but unlike every other religion, at its core, there is an essential, indispensable relationship with God through Christ. Now, I say unlike every other religion for this reason. You don't have to have a relationship with Buddha to be Buddhist. You just follow Buddha's teachings.
Right.
You don't have to have a relationship with Muhammad to be a Muslim. You just follow the tenets that Muhammad left behind, the teachings of Muhammad,
right,
the teachings of the Quran. You don't have to have a relationship with Confucius, who is dead, to be a practitioner of Confucianism. You simply adhere to the teachings and the tenets of that. With every other counterfeit religion in the world, you become a practitioner of that religion by choosing to follow its tenets, its teachings.
Right.
But in Christianity, you can't even begin to follow the tenets and the teachings of Christ until you first are brought into a transforming relationship with him through the new birth. So you don't become a Christian by going through the Bible, listing all of its moral codes and practices, and starting to do them.
Right.
You become a Christian by being born again by the Spirit, born into Christ, then having Christ dwelling in you. Then and only then can you begin to understand and practice the teachings of Christ. You can't practice the teachings of Christ without a relationship with Christ. Okay?
Right.
That's what sets Christianity apart. Again, you can follow the teachings of Confucius, but you can't have a relationship with Confucius. He's dead and gone.
Right.
You can follow the teachings of Muhammad, but you can't have a relationship with Muhammad. He's dead and gone. You can follow the teachings of Buddha, but you can't have a relationship with Buddha. He's dead and gone. But you can't practice the teachings of Christ until you have a relationship with Christ, who is alive now and forevermore. So, at the core of Christianity, there is an indispensable, absolutely essential relationship. That's what sets it apart from all other religions. But it doesn't mean it's not a religion. So I would not say Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. No, I would say Christianity is the only true religion, and it involves an indispensable relationship with Christ. That's one of the many things that set it apart from all the counterfeit religions that exist within humanity. So, it is a religion. It's the only true religion. It's what God refers to as pure, undefiled religion. The other religions are what Scripture calls the doctrines of demons, and counterfeit ways that seem right unto man, but their end is destruction. Satan is a counterfeiter. Satan knows there is pure religion, and it's not a gene store in the mall. Okay? true religion. So he counterfeits true religion with false religions such as Islam, Confucianism, Buddhism, Shintoism, etc., 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 etc. But the fact that he counterfeits doesn't mean there isn't a true. The reality is you can't have a counterfeit if you don't have a true.
That's right.
To speak of a counterfeit is insanity if there isn't a true currency or a true whatever.
Right.
So there is a true, pure, undefiled religion. God says so, so Christians need to quit saying there isn't.
Right.
You're in contradiction to Scripture. There is a pure, true, undefiled religion, a system of belief, practice, moral code, explanation of the universe that brings people together in a body. It's the Christian faith. It has at its core an indispensable, absolutely essential relationship with Jesus, apart from which you cannot know him, apart from which you cannot practice the Christian faith. But stop saying it isn't a religion.
Right.
Christianity is a relationship that has, or a religion that has an indispensable relationship at its core. We need to stop saying something that's unbiblical. We need to stop saying things that contradict what God says. We need to stop saying things that contradict every definition of religion. That's not the way to protect Christianity.
Right.
So if somebody came to me and said, religion is the cause of all evil, war, strife, bigotry, hatred, division, I would say no. Sin is the cause of war and division and bigotry and strife and death and hostility. Sin is the cause. And sin in the world has led to the counterfeit of true religion, which is Christianity that has that relationship within it. That relationship that separates it from all the pretenders. So getting rid of all religion is not going to end war. It's not going to end bigotry. It's not going to end strife. It's not going to end hostility. Getting rid of sin is how you'll get rid of those things. And the Christian religion that has at its core a relationship with Jesus is the way to get rid of sin.
That's right.
So don't throw out all religion, or you're going to end up throwing out the cure.
Right.
Throw out false religion. Get a hold of the true, pure, undefiled religion, which is the Christian faith that involves a relationship with Jesus, and then you'll be able to effectively deal with war and strife and hatred and division and bigotry. Okay. Christianity is a religion. Quit saying it's not a religion, it's a relationship. That's biblical insanity. It's logical insanity. And you may be well-intended, but you're sincerely wrong. and it's not helping.
Right.
It's not helping. Because now we've stressed that so much, now we're moving towards this, what the early church called antinomianism. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the thinking that if I have a relationship with Jesus, I don't have to adhere to a list of doctrines and practices. I just live my life with Jesus, my homeboy, Jesus, my good friend. No, because that Jesus said, those who love me obey my commandments.
That's right.
And why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say? You see, the flip side, the unintended consequence of Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship, is if I've got the relationship, I can do whatever the heck I want.
Right.
No, you can't.
That's right.
If you have the relationship, you'll adhere to the devotion and the moral code and the understanding of the universe and the specific worldview. And if you aren't adhering to those things, by Jesus' definition, you're following something, but you're not following him.
It's scripture. One of the things that society does that I have an issue with is it lumps Christianity with a lot of belief systems.
Oh, in other with words, Islam, with everything, yeah.
Yeah, Catholicism, the Catholics will say, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, and anybody you meet, almost any type of religion would say, yeah, we're a Christian. I believe 100% what you said. Christianity is the true religion. How do we deal with somebody saying, well, I'm a Christian, as a generic term, where we're not lumped in with that? Does that make sense?
Well, again, it comes back to the indispensable relationship. You cannot say you are a Christian if you do not have a spirit-produced relationship with Christ through the new birth.
Right.
Unless you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said.
Right.
So when somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and I'm not a Muslim, or I'm not a Buddhist, I'm a Christian.
Right.
A lot of Americans think they're Christian because they believe in God, and they're not a Buddhist or a Muslim.
Right.
Although the numbers of those people are decreasing rapidly. I mean, in the 50s, most Americans said they were Christian, and what they meant was, I'm not a Muslim or a pagan or whatever. Now, though, more and more people don't even want to be associated with Christianity because of all the bad press it gets.
Right.
But I would say to the person who says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not Confucianism, I'm not Islam, I'm not whatever, I would say, well, the definition of a Christian isn't up to you, respectfully, nor to me.
Right.
Jesus defined who a true Christian is. And his definition was somebody who has been born again. And he said, if you haven't been, you're not in.
Right.
So you say you're a Christian. When were you born again?
Right.
Can you recount a born-again experience?
Right.
And if you can't, you may give your intellectual assent to the teachings of Christianity.
Right, right.
But you aren't a Christian.
Right.
Because, again, Christian, you don't become a Christian by applying the teachings of Jesus. You apply the teachings of Jesus when and only when you are born again into a relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
See, recently here at ACAC, we had a young woman raised in Islam who came to me and said, I've been attempting to apply the teachings of Jesus because I'm searching, and I've been disappointed. And I said, that's because you're trying to do something that's impossible. I said, you can apply the teachings of Muhammad by just choosing to apply the teachings of Muhammad.
Right.
But you can't apply the teachings of Jesus until you've been born again and brought into a relationship with Jesus. You've got the cart ahead of the horse.
That's right.
Of course it's been disappointing because you're trying to do what God never intended for you to do.
Right.
She subsequently came to faith and was baptized, and now joyfully understands.
Right.
See? So that's what separates Christianity from all other religions, is that relationship. But don't say it's not a religion.
So it's okay this Christmas season.
It is the true religion because it involves a relationship. That's
Amen.
What we should say.
Right, man.
They. So if somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian, I say, well, tell me about your relationship to Christ. And tell me about your new birth.
Right.
And if they can't articulate either one of those, then they're a cultural, what's called a cultural Christian. It's really a contradiction in terms. They just give mental assent to something that they don't understand and don't practice.
That could be a whole nother conversation, that our mental ascent into Christianity, into the following
Christ. Oh, yeah. Again, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?
Right.
There have always been cultural Christians, but it's a contradiction in terms.
Right.
So stop saying it's not a religion or relationship because, A, that's unbiblical, B, it's illogical, and C, because it unwittingly contributes to a mushy Christianity where, well, if I know Jesus, I don't have to worship with other believers. I don't have to learn Christian doctrine. I don't have to participate in a church's communion service. Oh, no, you're wrong. No, if you're a Christian, you're part of a body of people who observe moral code, a shared understanding of the origins of the universe, and beliefs and practices and devotions and rituals. And again, can people do those things without Jesus? Absolutely. But is contradicting what Scripture says about religion the answer? No. Two wrongs do not make a right.
That's why these conversations are so helpful. We let you do all the work, all the heavy lifting, and we just reap the benefits. But
you just grease the slide and I go.
Well, thank you again. This is, enlightening. I mean, it goes against what I thought, and I'm sure a lot of people would think would be
I'm sure there wrong. Are many folks at ACAC who have said to a friend, but Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship.
I've said it myself.
And we really need to stop saying.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.